So, what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Okay, so it's Advent. This means we can actually listen to Christmas music, right? Or are you one of those people who absolutely not know Christmas music until Christmas Day and on, 12 days of Christmas? Or are you one of those people that maybe it's a compromise? Maybe you play instrumental Christmas music during Advent with those good O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. You'd be surprised how many of the Christmas carols, the traditional Christmas carols, are actually Advent songs. So, I mean, it's possible. There were a few years in a row where I really did, if it was just me, I tried to only listen to Advent coming, waiting for Jesus to come, Advent songs. And, you know, if you got the other songs along the way, it happened, you know, from exposure. But I'll tell you, this year, this is what I'm doing. Celebrate the Christmas season. Even though it's not our Christmas season, celebrate the Advent season, but have this preparation approach is where I'm at this year. And again, every year is different. Many of the last few years have been Advent only to the best of my ability. But remember, Christ was born. It's not like he wasn't born. He's born. He's risen. He's died. He has made his sacrifice for us. And so there's nothing wrong with listening to that Christmas music. But if it prevents you from taking advantage of this liturgical season, which, by the way, Advent is absolutely one of my favorite liturgical seasons, and I'll share with you why during the coming weeks, and even you may even realize 2 weeks ago I did a whole show talking about preparing for Advent, which you can go back and listen to, by the way, on the podcast. So I threw up a little post on my Instagram story. Let me know, what are you doing this Christmas Advent in terms of Christmas music? Maybe you threw it all in, and I mean, a day or two after Halloween, you totally caved and started listening to Christmas music. Coming up a little later on, we'll talk about that first candle of the Advent wreath, what it stands for, and how you can get the most out of this Advent. I'll be journeying with you with what the various candles from your Advent wreath mean. So if you haven't gotten your Advent wreath, go and pick it up. It's a good reminder, even if we maybe only light the candle, don't say a prayer, necessarily remember what the candle stands for, that this is a time to wait for Christ, and those candles can help represent that for both you and I. Coming up today on the show, Christina Pineda is joining us for our weekly happy hour here on Trending, and we're going to discuss a couple things, including ways to find love during the shutdown, because let's be real, many people are facing extreme loneliness, isolation, not just this year because of COVID, but also because it's just that season that, as joyful as it can be, sometimes it's a reminder that maybe we're not connected enough to our family. Maybe we don't have good friendships. Or maybe you're just at that point in your life where you cannot wait to get married, start a family, and start your own traditions. I get there. I've been there. I'm with my friends who are journeying that same journey. So we'll talk about, again, finding love, whether you're married, single, or dating, with Christina Pineda. We'll also discuss whether or not chivalry is dead and how, gentlemen, we know that you want to be chivalrous, but sometimes you don't know how, and us ladies get in the way. But there really is a great mission for men, and you're happier when we're both collaborating to make that happen. These are tips for married, newly married, seasoned married people, single, it doesn't matter. Christina Pineda, the matchmakers, are joining us in just a little bit here on Trending. One of the biggest things that gets in the way of yours and my happiness is comparison. We so often sit there and determine some arbitrary set of rules, guidelines, achievements, and we say, this is what's going to make me happy. And I'm going to judge myself according to that guideline. And I'm also going to compare myself in comparison to everyone else. It's totally arbitrary. So the question is, does it make us happier? And how do we quit? Well, on the happiness question, the thing with regard to comparison is you're only happy if you're winning. And if you're not winning, well, then you're not happy. again, I mentioned you've established your own rules or measurements for what makes you the, I don't know, would we say better person or in the better position or the happier person? Or even might I just say self-satisfied? We're only satisfied if we've compared and we hold up at a certain measurement in that comparison. Remember a couple years ago leading up to Christmas, I had this friend, she had me cracking up because it was funny and it stood out to me today when I was talking about today's show. She said, I really want to be the best girlfriend there is. And then a couple weeks later, she said, I really just, it's so important to me to give the best gifts possible at Christmas to each of my friends and family members. And it was so funny to me because I kept thinking at the time, oh, what determines the best? And we all have Christmas gift failures, let's be honest. There are those people who are just really, really difficult to shop for Christmas because either maybe they're not satisfied or maybe you just don't know what the heck to get for them. So again, this whole rule and measurement system we have for whether or not we're happier based on comparison, it's so arbitrary. And it's all in our own eyes. But at the same time, it leaves us sitting here looking around and saying, well, I'm not that. And we could either be disappointed that we're not that, or we could do this. We could say, well, at least I'm not X, Y, and Z. So then that makes us feel better because at least I'm not doing this, or at least I'm not in this circumstance, or at least I'm not here in this day, in this particular situation. So ultimately, no, we're not happier if we're living our lives on the level of comparison because A, it's subjective. We're determining the rules and the rules are constantly changing because realistically it's relativism. Everything's arbitrary. I define my reality of happiness and that could change now or it could change tomorrow or it could even change tonight and I might find myself with a tub of ice cream because that's what makes me happy as I'm miserable about something else. So the other part of that is it's also not making us happier because it means that we're dependent on others for our perceived sense of value. Means that we are looking to other people to help us determine whether or not we are okay. Now, there's nothing wrong, to a certain extent, to saying, hey, look at where this other person's at in their life and admiring where they're at. And maybe setting a goal for yourself. Saying, these are things I'd like to do in my life. These are qualities and virtues I'd like to have. But it is a problem when we become dependent on our sense of value based on where another person is. So how do we quit this comparison game? Well, you're listening to Trending with Timmery, and this is key. Because we have to work on our character, and ultimately, it's about developing virtue. We're going to talk about the virtue of hope a little later today during the show. But how do you quit? I have a 3 kind of layer approach to quitting this comparison game. And let's be honest, none of us are beyond this comparison game. None of us. Doesn't matter what stage in life we're in, we all struggle with this. So the first thing is we have to find our value or understand that our value is independent of other people. And might I add things, because some of us can get wrapped into our things. Ultimately, our value, that is with God. And that's unbreakable and unchangeable. So that leads me to my second point of how to quit this comparison game. Your happiness is based on union with God, and He transforms all those relationships with other people that you tend to compare yourself on the level of. Instead, He transforms them. He strengthens them. Or maybe He helps to make clear that this is maybe a disordered attachment or comparison game or friendship that you have. And so ultimately, it comes back to, in this second level, if our happiness is based on union with God and He transforms our relationships with others. Well, this is where it's great to be Catholic, because we get wrapped into this comparison game and feeling unhappy and lousy about ourselves, or even in that point where we're saying, well, at least I'm not doing X. This is where confession helps, because sin really does suck. Sin leaves us on that level where we're going, maybe, you know, it's not really that big of a deal that I'm here. And we kind of continue to sit with that dirt on us, and then we compare ourselves to the dirt on other people. Confession helps us to be grounded and reunited to God, to have the right perspective in mind. This is why we're going to talk about Advent a little more later on today in the show, about how we need to keep our eyes on the prize. That is being united with God, with heaven, and why hope is so important in this first week of Advent. And finally, I give this exercise over and over again. You hear me mention it on the show. How do we overcome comparison? How do we overcome resentment in our lives? Well, that third tip I have for you is take your rosary out and on each bead, the crucifix as well, say something you're grateful for. Because when we look at what we're grateful for in our lives, that's when we start to see, hey, I'm doing okay. Hey, I'm grateful for the people, the things, the blessings I have all around me. And you'd be surprised. There are a lot of things that you're grateful for that you probably didn't even realize. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri. My guest today is the matchmaker, Christina Pineda, from Matchmakers in the City. And we're diving during this happiness hour into ways to find love during the shutdown, whether you're single, married, or dating. Most of this is applicable to most areas in our lives. Christina, you are seeing a unique set of circumstances because of COVID and the holiday season. What's happening in the matchmaking world right now?
Yes. Hi, Timmeri. So good to be back with you. And as you mentioned before, the holidays are typically hard for singles, even though it's so joyous with the birth of our Lord, but it's compounded in a pandemic, this loneliness so that they might feel. And I've actually never seen so many of my date consulting members cry in our sessions because of things that their parents might be doing. And I don't know if you've heard of this, but some families are making their children quarantine before going if they want to go to the house for Christmas. And there's a lot of that going on right now. And our members feel paralyzed because they want to search for love. They don't want to slow things down. They're at a point in their life where it's every day counts. And they read these gloomy headlines and just all of these things that make it look their lives look bleak of when will it stop? But there are a lot of things that you can do in this shutdown environment that we live in. And just, I want everyone to remember, the Lord says in the book of Genesis, it is not good for the man to be alone. So that desire that you feel for community, that desire that you feel for your family, as well as for a future husband or a future wife, is a good desire. That is something that you should celebrate because he calls us to be in community. And whether that's if you're discerning, or this is even applicable to people who are discerning religious life, because you might be upset because maybe there are more restrictions with that right now. Right. So just know that that is a good desire. And anything that the government does, for instance, the established curfew, all of these things, it can be upsetting, but that doesn't, and this can fuel the loneliness that you feel. And I just don't want you to use that as an excuse for a regular relationship, contemplating a regular relationship. So instance, if you're dating someone, thinking that, oh, you know what, let's just move in together. We're at each other's apartments all the time anyway. We can't go anywhere. I want you to be creative about it, because it's very tempting to spend that kind of time in your apartments when that's all you can do. But try to, and the restaurants may be closed again, but that doesn't mean you have to stop dating or spend the night over the person you're dating, your house, if you're not married, obviously.
This is right, Christina. This is a great time, I think, to be creative, whether you're dating, you're married, you know, that loneliness is so deep. And, you know, as we're talking about this during our happiness hour, it's people who are in all stages of life. And, you know, if we find ourselves in isolation from other people, it can be a breeding ground, you know, for those irregular relationships where you're like, we'll just move in, or I'll just stay the night tonight. Or it can be that breeding ground for those bad habits that we tend to just pick up when we're alone, we're stressed, and we're trying to cope. We've been talking about that a lot lately on the show. And so it's important to get creative, you know, whether you're with someone or by yourself, going for a walk, making a meal that you enjoy, picking up a book or a hobby that you haven't done in a while. You know, I think sometimes, especially here in California, you know, we're only allowed to go to mass outside. There's a curfew at 10 o'clock. There are all these things happening. And there are a lot of people who are just going on with their lives, living and ignoring it. And then there are other people as well who are going, well, what do I do if I don't have the same level of interaction as I did before? And so those irregular relationships, Christina, that's such a difficult one because people, you know, want that connectedness. But I keep thinking about, you know, I went to a small Catholic university and we had, you know, no intervisitation policy. So you had to be creative with the way you hung out. You couldn't just hang out in someone else's living room. You know, you couldn't necessarily cook together while in college. You know, there are rules in terms of our dorm rooms, but I'm grateful for it because it led you to be creative, more thoughtful, and think outside of the box in terms of what you did with your time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. I wish more schools had that policy. It would cut down on a lot of sin.
People still find a way around things. I'm just saying. I mean, yes, people can be creative in that way too.
True. That's true. That's great. So one thing I wanted to recommend is I want people in relationships to know, just to be a little more compassionate with your single friends right now, especially this year, and helping your single friends can also help your marriage because it helps you remember how hard it was to be single and appreciate your spouse who is very easy to take for granted. So that's actually one of the benefits of being a matchmaker is I have a big heart for single people because I know how hard it is when I was single and I couldn't see on the other side. I knew the kind of man I wanted to be with, but the Lord hadn't shown him to me yet. And now that I'm married now and I am helping people, it constantly is a reminder that, wow, I have an amazing husband. So married people in relationships, help your single friends at this point, and you'll find that your marriage will grow in holiness because of it. And then another idea is to give the gift this Christmas. Timmy was talking about gifts of an introduction to one of your, so if you're married or in a relationship, one of your single friends who, great single friends, and, or a date coaching session, a date consulting session with me or with one of our matchmakers or with another matchmaker. And just ideas for gifts.
And Christina, you mentioned that, you know, introducing one of your single friends or family members to someone else, it also might be a good time. I know people have done this where they throw parties and they invite all their single friends and, you know, it's, hey, come around, come hang out. You know, this is an opportunity to meet other people, but adopting and taking responsibility for other people where they're at, but also maybe these same exact people have family members who have said, don't visit this year because of COVID. We don't want you traveling. We don't feel you comfortable. I know you and I were talking about friends who we've invited around because of that. So this is so important, but I want to come to a really key tip. You, a couple years ago, right around the holidays, did a promotion of how to get a guy in 10 days. Can you give some of those tips?
Yes, that was a fantastic event that we threw. And we actually had a few, and this was for women, but men can do this too. And we had a few women afterwards write to us saying they even had a date for New Year's Eve. So it was a fast turnaround. So some of these ideas, this is for singles. Schedule a photo shoot. And this is, okay, I've been saying that this is kind of like the 12 days of Christmas. So I want you during Advent to schedule out your 12 days of Christmas so that you do something good for your dating life all on each of those 12 days. One of them is schedule a photo shoot with a photographer to get great photos for your matchmaker and online dating profiles. So we have a great photographer who we work with, or you might have someone who you know, but make sure it's someone who does well and you really like their photos, because it's nothing's worse than getting the photos back and saying, oh, I was cheap with this and they're not really good photos. And then, or you could first, and some of our bachelors and bachelorettes have been telling me that they're doing this, but schedule a photo shoot with a friend where you take photos of each other with outfit changes and location changes. If you're a woman, do your hair and makeup. If you're a man, do your hair, get ready, look great. use those tips that we talked about in previous sessions with Timmy and me. And then you do know that it's events are few and far between. So, and more people than ever are using matchmakers or online dating. So photos are really important. So that's my first tip. Mm-hmm. The second one for singles is socially distance, outdoor picnic, hike, outing. This is something that you plan where you invite a few single friends and have each of your single friends bring a guy or a girl who they have friend zoned and are not interested in themselves. But this person is a great catch. And we all have people who we know that is true for. So this is a good one. Zoos are open. You have to, as Timmy said, we have to be creative. So look at what is actually open. Look at who is open to doing something, because not everyone will be open to doing something like this, but some people will, and you can just make sure you wear the masks and socially distance, however you want to orchestrate it. But it's a good way to meet new people, and you could find the right person like that.
That's Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. You also have a promotion that you do, 12 Days of Christmas, and it's for married couples dating, but I'm going to generalize it for everyone. Ways to be connected with other people. What's the challenge for the 12 Days of Christmas, and how can we take advantage of that real quick?
Yeah, that's connecting with other people during this time, and especially this is, I guess I'd like to talk about the married couples right now, is I haven't really talked that much about how the shutdowns can be difficult for married people. And when you're spending so much time together, tensions are getting high, you're getting on each other's nerve. So this 12 Days of Christmas marriage challenge will be great for you. And so I want you to write a day-by-day plan to do one special thing for your dating life or relationship during those 12 days.
And maybe it's for a roommate. Maybe you're not dating, maybe you're not married, but it could be for a roommate, a dear friend, to step outside of yourself during Christmas and really find something that you can do for another person for 12 days going into Christmas. We'll be right back here on Trending with Timmy during our happy hour to talk about whether chivalry's dead and to dive more into Advent.
How many candles on an Advent wreath? 4. Hi, this is Father Rocky with another Advent inspiration. There are 4 candles on an Advent wreath, 1 for each Sunday in Advent. Usually 3 of the candles are purple and 1 is rose, and that's the one for the third week of Advent, known as Gaudete Sunday, which is the Latin word that means rejoice. On the third Sunday of Advent, the priest can wear rose-colored vestments at Mass. Growing up in my family, we placed the Advent wreath on the dining room table and would light the candles during dinner each evening. By the time we reached the fourth week of Advent and all 4 candles were glowing, we knew Christmas was almost here. The evergreen leaves that make up the wreath symbolize eternal life by sanctifying grace, and the light of the candles represents the light of Christ, who brings hope to all who approach Him. On Christmas Day, a fifth candle, a large white one, can be placed in the center and burns brightly during the entire Christmas octave, and that's why we call it the Christ light.
To hear this or any of Father's Advent inspirations, visit us on the app or relevantradio.com.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans are available at relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmy on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You're joining us during our weekly happy hour, heard every week here on Monday, because who doesn't want to be happier? And there's so many things that we do that get in the way of our own happiness. I asked last week, what has made you happier during the quarantine? And your responses have been amazing. And there are totally things to work on here for Advent, but even just to implement into our regular routines. We'll be talking about that and Advent, what that first candle and the Advent wreath stands for. Now, my uncle recently died during COVID, and when we were celebrating his life and attending a very small scale funeral, that's all that was allowed. Unfortunately, we weren't allowed in a church, but other places allowed us. We were talking about how he was always a gentleman. always a gentleman. I think about how much he cared for me and loved me with gifts and his generosity. And he was a very happy and simple person. And one of those things that I think came across in his personality so simply that it was almost overlooked was this honor he showed and chivalry he showed specifically toward women. Anytime a woman, whether young or old of any age, walked into the room, he was the first person to stand up, offer his chair. He was a gentleman of the old school who waited really until all the women sat down and were comfortable before he sat down. And not in a way that was like stressful, because you know those guys sometimes where they're like, no, you have to sit down. I have to give you a chair. You know, you have to do this. And I'm a mover. I like to stand. So it's always one of those like, allow the man to be a gentleman. Just sit down, take the darn chair. But there are moments where you want to stand. You've been sitting all day. Sometimes they need to calm down a little bit. But when Christine Pineda from Matchmakers in the Cities joining me during our happy hour, she asked the question, is chivalry dead? And it's sad because it seems like it is fading away with some of the older generations. Yet at the same time, Christina, men want to be chivalrous, but they don't know how. And let's be honest, us women can really get in the way of that happening.
That's so true. And it is very much alive and breathing if you want it to be. So for men, I want to challenge you because I date consult a lot of men. This is why this came up for me, that they will say to me, oh, just chivalry, it's just not me. And then I challenge them on that because it's because
you marked off my list.
Seriously. Well, the thing is, they haven't been raised with it. And a lot of them grew up in the 60s and 70s culture where it was anything goes, and people were really questioning a lot of these old school wonderful things that have very respectful things. So they weren't raised with it. And I think what you are talking about, Timory, is that sometimes women will expect the chivalry, but they don't support it. So the men are also scared to be perceived as chauvinistic or showy being made fun of by their female friends for doing it all of a sudden if they've never done it in their lives. But if you are on the marriage path, if you want to be with the woman of your dreams, this is so important for you to do. It is a game changer. We've had so many bachelors. We used to work with a chivalry expert. Now we just do it, talk to our bachelors about it ourselves and talk to women about it too. But I remember especially one bachelor in the beginning of when we started our company say to me, Christina, that session was a game changer for me. So if you open your mind, if you open your heart to that, it will change your life. And now about women, what Timory was saying, that some of us will use it as a deal breaker. And I'm guilty of that too. But it's not appropriate for our times, ladies, to use this barometer as a deal breaker, unless the man, for instance, I'm going to give you an example. Okay, so you want the door held open for you. Men always hold open every single door and anticipate her needs. So if you're walking, you see a door, go in front of her and open it. If she, for instance, though, if you don't do that, for the woman, if there's a door in front of you and he's not opening it, just stand there, wait, be patient, and then say, if he's not getting the hint by that point, say to him, I just love it when men open the door for me in a very kind and nice way. Then you will see his reaction. Most guys who are normal, good
I'll
single
put a
men
carpet out say, for you, honey. Let me roll that carpet now.
They'll say, sure. And they'll open the door for you. Some men will say, really? And will give you attitude. And then, you know, that is a deal breaker at that point, because that guy is nasty. And keep that in mind. It might not be, maybe it's, you want to give him a few more tries, but I don't know. That's pretty red flag in my book. But don't let it be a deal breaker, because men are nervous about these things. And they're not, I will say 99% of women want chivalry. And it's the 1% of women who don't, who give it a bad rap. They're the loud ones. And they are the ones who are saying, I can do it all by myself. And that most right. women, we know that we don't want to do it all on our own, even if we technically could. We want that respect. We want to be treated like a princess, even if you don't use that word princess. It's you want that just common courtesy and respect that men, like a knightly chivalry, a knightly man who will do these simple and small things that will really go a long way.
You know, Christine, it's so funny as we're talking about this, because the door is always what ends up coming up when we talk about chivalry and those simple ways to show that respect toward the women in your life. And I see this of all ages. Sometimes I'm shocked when a guy doesn't see it, like an older man or woman walking toward the door and walk and open the door for the person. You know, speed up a little bit. I mean, I'm not a dude, but I recognize if there's someone older who's walking and they're going to be approaching the door, help them out. They're not always the most balanced. I think my producer Karen's pointing at herself as if we should be opening the door for her. You don't get that yet, Karen. She's saying she does that for other people. She's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Right. But, you know, I have a couple door stories that I'm thinking of. And I mean, all of these are like gone wrong, gone well. One I'm thinking of, last year I was with a big group of people, and I think we were like walking up into a big building, and I've kind of just gotten into that habit, because so many men do want to be chivalrous, but they don't know what to do, of respectfully lingering a little bit and giving the dude an opportunity to figure out that he's supposed to open the door, or a chance to, because normally I'm one of those people who like walks at the front, goes marching right in, opens the door, like I know where I'm going, I'm not going to wait for people who are slow in a group. And one of my friends goes, "Are you serious, Timmery? You can't just open the stupid door." And like, he makes a really big deal of like reaching around over me, grabbing the door, huffing and puffing. And I walked through and I was so mortified. And I thought, you know what? Thumbs down, dude. Like, you know, even if you thought and noticed that I was lingering back, which I did a little bit, but there were a bunch of other people that I was waiting for as well, it's just rude. But on the other end, I've seen women. I remember in college, there was this one girl, and if someone opened the door for her, she would go and grab the door, step back, and be like, "No, after you, I insist." And she'd insist on holding the door open for everyone who came through. And so I look at these examples, and it's so funny because it's something so simple that we can be polite about, but for some reason, like you said, those loud-mouthed people are the ones that can sometimes ruin it and make other people feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And if you, as a man, if you just, I want you to just stop thinking about those, the women who, and you know what, women, we're guilty of being very productive during the day, wanting everything to be efficient. Just if we can get one door open faster to get us through, like Timmery was saying, that's her usually how she'll operate. But it goes both ways. Ladies, you want to give men the time to do what they need to do. And men, just assume that women want chivalry because they usually do. Mm-hmm. And I have a few other tips that I love to dive into, that for men, I want you to get in the habit of doing things, because chivalry is a way of life. And if you start practicing it, it will, like that bachelor wife said, it's not me, it will become you. So one thing, opening all doors, including car doors, we just talked about that. Have a blazer with you at all times. Offer it to her if you're on a date or something like that. And if she's seeming cold, because women, we have dresses and they're not always the warmest things. And then breath mints in pockets. It's so wonderful though, to get that blazer. You feel so protected and cared for when such a simple act, but it feels so good as a lady to get that blazer. And then men, keep your breath mints in your pocket. We've talked about that before. An umbrella in your car. That's something that might be different for you, because it doesn't really rain that much in LA, but sometimes it does and you want to be prepared. And then you can go and get it for her if you're at a restaurant or you want to make sure she doesn't get wet as she goes out of the restaurant. And then pay for the meal. No questions asked. Take the check immediately. Do not let it linger on the table. As soon as it comes, just swipe it off there and take your card, put it on the table. And that's that. She might say to you, she might do a fake reach and say, or maybe a reach, real reach. It's okay. I can help. Can I contribute? She doesn't really mean it. So she might, but it doesn't matter.
The guys are like, wait, what?
Don't take her for a word. That's the first cardinal rule of women. No, sometimes you have to. But this, with when it comes to paying the bill, that's true. So say, this is the volleyball rule, it's called. Say, oh, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. Then she might say, oh, are you sure? And then you'll say, yep, no problem, got it.
Leave a tip, woman. That's what you're supposed to say. I'm kidding. But, you know, Christina, as you're walking through some of these simple ways, you know, to be courteous, to have common sense, it really brings me back to a man's mission of being a protector, a provider, and someone who makes sacrifices. And I really do believe through chivalry, common courtesy, that men can really own their mission to be protectors, to be providers. And, you know, maybe you're dating and you agree with the person you're dating, you know, hey, we'll take turns on our meals out in terms of what we do. You know, that's different and you can get into that. But you're really talking about helping men to come into their mission. And I think part of the difficult issue with chivalry and why I love that we're talking about it during our happy hour is that many men are looking for a mission. And part of it is a simplicity of making little sacrifices and being thoughtful toward other people. And when we throw chivalry out the door, we throw out the gentleman, we throw out the virtue, and we throw out the purpose of living for others, for men.
This is your way to be the knight in shining armor. And these small, simple things, it's like St. Therese, a little way. This is how you do that. This is how you save the princess. There's all these video games and everything. It's all about saving the princess. This is how you're going to do it, in these small, simple ways. And just, I say that the rule of thumb is if you ask, you pay. So if you're the one who's courting her and you're asking her out to do something, you pay for it. If she invites you to something, then that's different. Mm-hmm. But you, if you're pursuing her, I'm sure you are at a place in your life where you can share your life. You have the means to share your life with someone in a certain respect, and don't do something that you don't feel like you can afford. So if you can't afford an expensive restaurant, bring her somewhere nice, but that's not the top tier prices. Bring her on a picnic. That's probably all you can do right now. So save a few bucks.
Right. That's Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. You can find them at matchmakersinthecity.com. We'll post links to that. And just a final thought on chivalry. Ladies, from your perspective, we talked about sometimes, you know, we can say that if he's not chivalrous, if he doesn't open my door, if he's rude about it, it's a deal breaker. And Karen, my producer, is just commenting, there's a problem when someone's rude. That's a red flag. That should be a deal breaker for both men and women. But if someone's just clueless, they don't know how to be chivalrous, and they're maybe coachable, that's not a deal breaker. That's an opportunity to love someone who maybe hasn't been taught that example, or even been encouraged or dated someone who expects it. And so this is one of those moments where being a Christian in the culture is a reminder that we are called not only to have high expectations of ourselves, but to help other people in the high expectations we have for them as well. I'll be right back here on Trending with Timmeray during our happy hour talking about Advent and what that first Advent candle on the Advent wreath stands for.
Timmeray will be right back. You can reach her on Instagram and Twitter at Timmeray. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E.
Underwriting by the Catholic Singles app, an online community of single men and women looking to connect with other Catholic singles who share their faith and values. The Catholic Singles app, the platform connecting single Catholics around the globe.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timmeray on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Coming up, hope in this first week of Advent. That's our theme. That's what the first candle on the Advent wreath stands for. Stay tuned. We'll dive more into the topic of hope in just a minute. Last week, I asked the question on social media, taking a poll, what has made you happier during quarantine? And I love these answers because these are changes we need to make in our everyday life. So the first theme in terms of the responses I received over and over again had to do with being together with other people, whether it was praying for the first time as a family or as a couple, or get this, actually sitting down at the dinner table together. Let's touch on praying together first. So many of you have written to me saying for the first time, you're praying your rosary each evening together and how much you love it. how it's transforming your interaction as a family. You're growing in your faith. Many of you commented that just having the time to pray together has been incredible. So my challenge is this: life changes. I mean, the quarantine itself has changed so much in the last, 9 months now? I mean, come on, we're having a quarantine baby, as my sister keeps saying. And what have we learned? It's time to take our time back. Take our time back into our own hands. We shouldn't just say, wow, I got to pray together and I got to have a dinner with my family during COVID. These are things that should happen from here on out. I hope COVID has allowed for that so-called 2020 vision that so many people were anticipating when the new year was rung in. And so use this Advent to set regular lifestyle changes, goals of this is a type of prayer we're going to pray every night together as a family, as a married couple. Or maybe these are the specific nights because maybe it can't be done every night. Maybe it can be done in the morning. The other thing is setting that time to have dinner together. Praying together and dinner together were the two biggest ones people have been saying, I've loved. It's made me happy. It's made me a better person, and it's led me to go deeper in my relationships. So remember that togetherness, that relationship building that's so important. We were talking earlier about how loneliness and depression can be on the rise, not just during the holiday season, but with COVID and this isolation we're experiencing. So maybe you have roommates, or maybe you have a close friend where you can start making this once weekly commitment to have dinner with them, or have dinner or lunch with a family member, you know, going outside of the box to have that sit down meal with those you love, even if it isn't every day. I will say this, having so many meals together while single is really difficult. It was difficult for me. I would get so sick because I'd work from home and I'd eat meal after meal after meal throughout the week by myself. And you kind of just go, well, I'm just going to put on my iPad. I'm just going to do this. And it's easy to kind of allow yourself to be in that sense of being isolated. But doing different things to connect with people, having dinner dates and lunch dates that you set your eyes on, can be that really good way of remedying this lack of engagement with others. And heck, if you are in a place where it's difficult to go out to eat, have a picnic, invite someone to your house, host a dinner. Another thing that people said has made them happier during the quarantine is no longer taking for granted going to Mass. And these are three things that I think we have to remember over and over again with regard to Mass. We don't have to go to Mass. We get to go to Mass. We talk a lot about holy days of obligation or that we're required to go to church on Sunday. But think about that word obligation. Have you ever responded to someone and said, I know this is kind of older language, language we don't use so often, but when you're excited about something or you feel honored, you say, oh, I'm much obliged to do this. Like in a positive sense, you're glad, you're happy to go. It's an honor. Think about this opportunity to go to Mass as your honor and your gift to our Lord to be in His presence. And third, remember, stand for our freedoms. Be grateful for our freedoms. Stand up for them. Just a quick rundown on some of the religious persecution as of now. The Supreme Court of the United States during the week of Thanksgiving ruled that the New York sanction on masses was absolutely unacceptable and that church is essential and you cannot limit worship to 10 people. California, we're under another state of religious persecution where we're forced outside for, I believe, the third week in a row again. For our masses. It's unconstitutional. And as Archbishop Corleone of San Francisco said in the past week, he said, not only is it a constitutional right to go to church, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble, but it's also a natural right. It's a natural part and dimension of the human person. And in fact, in parts of Northern California, actually in San Francisco, up until September, San Francisco, you weren't even allowed to gather in a group of 12 people outdoors. And so they have seen some of the strictest COVID restrictions. And now Kentucky, the governor of Kentucky has said no Mass. You can only go to church online. Ooh, but guess what? Four dioceses in Kentucky have said no. They're continuing to celebrate Mass because the reality is there's been no link to church gatherings with all of the regulations churches have followed to the T and COVID cases. And so they have insisted on keeping their doors open, even in the face of the Kentucky governor persecuting specifically churches. Yet everyone got to go Black Friday shopping, most ever I know, even here in California, with how bad things so supposedly are. Just a quick couple other things to note that people have loved during this change in COVID. What's made you happy? Not having a commute to work. It's a reminder of family time, better live time. But what happens if that commute comes back? I want to encourage you. If and when, if it hasn't already come back for you, when you're in that car, embrace silence. Use it as a time of contemplation and prayer. Your rosary, listening to religious talks. You know, there's so many great podcasts and talks from priests. And I even think about, I went through this phase of listening to Venerable Fulton Sheen and all of his talks when I drive on my commutes. Incredible content out there with podcasts, Trending with Timory, all the shows on Relevant Radio. It's also, again, a good time to connect with other people. Make those phone calls. Get connected to your loved ones. Stay tuned as throughout the week, I'll share more of those things that we can work on this Advent that have made us happier during the quarantine. But I want to spend some time today talking about Advent. What is Advent? It's that time of awaiting for Christ's coming at Christmas. Waiting with Mary, putting ourselves in the shoes of the Jewish people who waited for the Messiah, waiting even now for Christ's second coming to the earth, but also even waiting to be with him in heaven at our own judgment when we'll be united to God if we are found worthy. Now, this waiting period, one of the ways that we mark that in the Catholic Church is with that traditional Advent wreath and the four Advent candles. I can't tell you how often growing up we would, you know, see the ceremony if you got to go to the Mass where they lit the candle for the week, Sunday Mass. And no one would talk about what the candles represented. They'd just be there. And it was a symbol, but we knew it meant Advent, but we didn't know what they meant. Well, that first purple candle of Advent, because we have three purple and one pink, stands for hope. And I want to talk about hope for just a minute here. If you don't know what the others stand for, I'll be breaking it down as the weeks and days go on. We have the first purple candle stands for hope, the second for peace, the third for joy, that Gaudete Sunday, and the fourth for love. Now, focusing in on hope, remember, hope is a virtue. And I think this is such an important virtue in today's day. We live in a culture where so many people are despairing. There's hopelessness. The mental health crisis has been incredibly challenging, but has only gotten worse with COVID. Perhaps a loved one of yours is suffering, or perhaps no longer here because of this hopelessness and despair. We also have a generation of young people who identify as, quote, nuns. That is, those people who have absolutely no religious affiliation in their life. In fact, I was citing this study that came out from Pew Research a couple weeks ago that, in fact, one third of millennials had absolutely no church exposure during their upbringing. What is this culture of nuns, despair, hopelessness, and mental health pointing to? It really is a cry for God. It's a cry for belief in one who loves them unconditionally. And it's a search for a forever home that we're all created for. You see, this is hope. To understand that our greatest longing ultimately is fulfilled in God. To understand that belief, faith, is one of the most fundamental things that we have, because faith points us to a God who created us and loves us unconditionally. In a culture with loneliness, despair, hopelessness, suicide, and mental health all on the rise, ultimately people are looking for that human connection. We talked a lot about relationship building, engaging with others today during our happy hour. We have to remember that the greatest relationship that we can foster and grow in is that love that God the Father has for us, understanding it and receiving it and responding. He truly loves us unconditionally, no matter what the broken relationships may be on this earth that we experience. They aren't even a fraction of the love God has for us. Even the greatest, most loving and generous relationship you may have barely even touches on the love that God the Father has for you. And He has created you for that forever home. I've worked a lot with people who have placed their children for adoption. I've had many friends who have been adopted. And I always think about this forever home that they have and how a forever home is so important to them and how that forever home is fundamental for them understanding who they are. But ultimately, that forever home isn't in a placement with regard to where you are temporarily, who you room with, the circumstances you find yourself in now. That forever home is in heaven with God, who you're created to be with.